There's nothing like a splashing contest with my pal Jumpin' Jack. He splashes up a big wave and I splash one even higher. Back and forth we go until Granny Greenleaf tells us if we keep it up, there won't be any water left. But as we say in the swamp, there's nothing better than getting muddy with a very special buddy. Oops, the bell for recess rings. I guess I was daydreaming again. Now I'm even rhyming in my dreams. I notice that Saya doesn't hurry out of the room. Instead, she waits for Tabitha to get to the door. I'm surprised, because Saya is shy and doesn't like to talk, but she always tries her best and speaks from her heart. She's like my cousin Lucy Liu, who always croaked the truth. Way to go, Saya, I encourage her. Maybe she'll have better luck at making friends than Mandy did. I wish she understood the many meanings of boing. Saya does talk to Tabitha, which makes me hoppy. Tabitha looks as if she needs a friend. I am amazed to see that Tabitha is not friendly at all in return. She doesn't even smile or walk out of the classroom with Saya. Why in the swamp would Tabitha ignore a nice squirrel like Saya? Is she stuck up, like those bragging bullfrogs? Before I hop into the water to cool off, I hear the screeching of Humphrey's wheel. Screech, screech, screech. The little guy seems upset. Did he see what happened between Tabitha and Saya? There's no use asking him, because all he'd say is, squeak! I paddle around in the water for the rest of the afternoon. Being damp calms me down. A little. Luckily, all that wheel running tires Humphrey out, and he disappears into his sleeping hut. It's quiet now, the perfect time to relax, float, doze, be. While I am daydreaming, I think up a little poem. There is something I don't get about my fellow classroom pet. Humphrey is furry, and he is small, but I can't understand his squeaks at all. At least I managed to write a poem about Humphrey without trying to rhyme something with his name or the word hamster. I'm a poet, and I don't know it. I can make words rhyme, at least some of the time. After school, Mrs. Brisbane tidies up her desk. She reminds me of Granny Greenleaf. Just because we live in the mud and the muck, she'd say, that's no reason not to be tidy. I am surprised when Miss Loomis comes into our classroom carrying her coat. Thanks for giving me a ride, Miss Loomis says. Anytime, Mrs. Brisbane replies. I have that information you wanted about Og's past history, Miss Loomis says. That news is very interesting to me. I hop up on my rock to hear what she tells my teacher. Want to stop for coffee to warm up on the way home? Mrs. Brisbane asks. You can tell me all about it. Miss Loomis thanks her and says, I'd love to. That's all very nice for Mrs. Brisbane and Miss Loomis, but unless they are taking me along for coffee, I won't know what they're saying. While Mrs. Brisbane puts on her coat, Miss Loomis comes over to my tank. How's your star pupil doing? She asks. Before Mrs. Brisbane can answer, Humphrey pops out of his sleeping hut and lets out a very loud squeak. The two teachers laugh. Soon the two of them are gone, and Humphrey and I are alone. Again. Naturally, my neighbor hops on his wheel. The endless stream of screeches is a little much for me, so I try to think of something else. The swamp. The end of the day in the swamp is busy and noisy. There are no bells ringing like there are at school, but there's plenty of buzzing, chirping, flapping, and even the occasional blood-curdling howl. The chorus of bullfrogs is deafening, and of course, my green frog friends and I let out some hearty boings so everyone will know we're around too. But once the humans have left Longfellow's school and Humphrey jumps off his wheel, the room is as silent as a peeper frog who's lost her voice. It's almost too quiet. I guess Humphrey agrees, because before long, he starts squeaking at me again. I think the little fellow is trying to tell me something, but all I hear is squeak, 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 and on he goes. I don't understand a squeak you're saying, I tell him with a loud boing. He squeaks back, and I boing back. We are having a conversation, except for one thing. We can't understand each other. I give up trying to talk, and that upsets Humphrey more. Luckily, Aldo arrives to clean the room. I have never been so happy to see anyone in my life. At least I can understand most of the things he says. He says his nephew Richie is happy that room 26 has two classroom pets now. Oh, Aldo and Richie are related, and I guess Humphrey and I are both classroom pets. That's something we have in common. He loses me when he talks about going back to school. Isn't he in school right now? As he's talking to Humphrey and me, he pulls out a piece of paper that must have something to do with his plan. Once he's gone, I worry that Humphrey will want to have another chat, but this time, he doesn't even try. Humphrey also gives me the silent treatment the next morning. But when the big tads come in, there is plenty of commotion in room 26, especially since someone... Kirk again, has put a sign on Humphrey's cage that says, that has Gail giggling and the other students laughing too. Humphrey scrambles up the side of his cage to try and see it and lets out a huge squeak. I'm not sure whether it's a happy squeak or not, and I can't see the sign from my tank. You think you're so funny, Mandy tells Kirk. Because I am, Kirk says. It's annoying, Mandy replies. Aw, Mandy, do you have to whine about everything, Kirk asks. He turns to the other big tads. I'm funny, right? I guess he is, because everyone claps for Kirk except Mandy and Mrs. Brisbane, who gets class started. I think Kirk is funny, but he doesn't always pick the right time for a joke. Back in the swamp, I had a friend named Gilly, who was a very funny frog. She had a way of puffing up her body so that it would almost double in size. When she exhaled, she'd let out a wild, high-pitched boing that made us other frogs laugh, at least most of the time. That's why we called her Silly Gilly. But when Granny Greenleaf was giving us tads a lesson on cricket catching and Gilly did her trick, Granny got very upset with her. There's a time and a place for everything, Gilly, she said, and when I'm teaching an important lesson, it's definitely not the time for silliness. The rest of us stopped giggling, and Gilly hung her head. Then, after lessons, Granny made Gilly repeat her trick over and over. She got so sick of it, she never repeated it again. So today, I'm thinking Kirk needs to learn when it's a good time to be funny and when it's not. If he could only meet Granny Greenleaf. Suddenly, I hear our teacher say, I talked to Miss Loomis and got some information about Og. Everyone looks at her, even Richie and Art, who aren't always paying attention. I wonder if Humphrey is listening. I know I am. I asked Miss Loomis where Og came from, she says. The big tad's ears perk up. Mine would too, if I had ears. But all I have are circles under the skin that vibrate when sound hits them. I found out that Og came from Mackenzie's Marsh. That's a local pond, she says. Swamp, I correct her. Mackenzie's Marsh is a swamp. Ooh, some of the students say. Ah, some other students say. The grandfather of one of Miss Loomis's students was fishing there one day, and he happened to see Og sunning himself on a rock, she explains. I remember so well. I just finished having a leaping contest with my pal Jumpin' Jack. I was tired from so much leaping, and Jack decided to look for a snack, so I was all alone on that sunny rock. Suddenly, everything went black, and I couldn't see a thing. Gotcha, a voice said, but I didn't know what that meant. I'd never even heard a human voice so close before. I was bundled up and carried away. It wasn't too far, but my skin was already starting to dry out. A frog skin should never dry out. Then suddenly, I was uncovered, and I was sitting in a car. Of course, I'd never seen a car before. The large man looked down at me and mumbled something I couldn't understand. He was smiling, but I wasn't. He rummaged around in a box, then took out a bowl and poured water into it. He put the bowl on the floor out of the car and set me in the water. Ah, relief. Thank goodness that grandfather knew frogs need damp skin. When the car began to move, the water sloshed around the bowl. The man talked to me, but all I heard was blah, blah, blah. I must admit, I was scared. Wouldn't Jack and the other green frogs wonder what happened to me? I wondered what was going to happen to me. Everybody in the swamp knew about the terrible thing that happened to my cousin Gulper. He wasn't paying attention one day, as usual. So when he saw a tempting worm, he grabbed it without noticing that the worm was attached to a fishing line. The last thing we saw was Gulper being reeled in and a human hand plopping him into a big bag. Poor Gulper. He was careless, but he was family. Hearing Mrs. Brisbane talk about my secret past makes me as rattled as a rattlesnake. The grandfather thought he was a good-looking frog, she continues, and he thought his grandson might like him as a pet. No, Miranda calls out. She's shaking like a cattail in a windstorm. That's kidnapping. It's actually frognapping, and I'm shaking just thinking about it. I don't know what to call it, Mrs. Brisbane says. The boy's grandfather surprised him with Og. It was the student's idea to share him with the rest of the class, especially since they already had George. He thought they would be friends. Who was it? Which student? Miranda asked. Well, I believe it was Austin March, Mrs. Brisbane says. Heidi jumps up and stands next to her table. Austin rides my bus. Boy, am I going to tell him off. That wouldn't be fair, Mrs. Brisbane says. He's not to blame. Yeah, he's a nice guy, AJ says. I'm sure his grandfather thought it was a good idea, Mrs. Brisbane adds. Bad idea, I reply, wishing they could understand me, because it was such a bad idea. Why didn't they ask George first? I know what he would have said. Rum, rum! So that's how Og came to Longfellow School, she says. And aren't we glad he did? No, Saya stands up next to her table and speaks loudly. I am in shock. She's not glad I'm in room 26. Maybe she's not as sweet as I thought. I wonder what Humphrey's thinking. Until I glance at his cage and see that he's disappeared into his sleeping hut again. Isn't he interested in my story? I agree with Heidi, Saya says. Og should be in the swamp with his friends and family. AJ wrinkles his nose. Maybe he doesn't belong here. It is a blow, I have to say. I'm just starting to feel like I do belong in room 26. Don't the big tads like having me in class? Do they really want to get rid of me? Maybe he doesn't belong here, but he's here now, Mrs. Brisbane says. We'll have to figure out whether he should stay. Whoa, Mrs. Brisbane doesn't want me here either? I don't hear anybody that say that Humphrey doesn't belong in room 26. I feel green with envy, the way I felt when Jumpin' Jack beat me in a leaping contest 8 times in a row. 8. Oh, but on the 9th try, bing, bang, boing, I left him in the dust, or at least in the mud. Back in the swamp, even if the bullfrogs bragged and bullied, and even if there were snapping turtles and other unfriendly creatures, no one ever questioned whether I belonged there. Now I'm in over my head. I don't know what to think, so I plop myself into my nice clean water bowl to float, doze, be. This time, it doesn't work. Thanks a lot, Awesome March's grandfather.